Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of our Lord that we consider this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So far our text. Please be seated. In the name of the Christ child, dear fellow redeemed, in the many Christmas hymns, carols, and songs, there is one recurring thought that you'll find time and again. That is joy. Listen to some of the opening phrases in the following Christmas hymns. Come rejoicing, praises voicing, Christmas day is breaking. Joy to the world. Rejoice, rejoice, this happy morn, and now sing we now rejoice. Again and again, these hymns remind us that we have reason for joy at Christmas time, especially because of the birth of our Savior. To this, our scripture text today adds that we always, always have reason for joy. Many celebrants agree we have reason to be joyful at Christmas time, but for many, the idea of being joyful in any and every situation sounds rather fanciful and even impossible. People have said there is joy at Christmas time, provided workers have time off to celebrate the holiday, and there are decorations to adorn the house, and presents are given and received, and also if there's special food to be eaten. But then, these same individuals may question how a person could be joyful other times of the year, like after the holidays, when a person is facing the many problems of daily living, such as going back to the salt mines to work, taking down the decorations, paying for the Christmas gifts, and taking off that excess weight that oftentimes is gained in the holidays. And then there's also encountering unkind people, sickness, accidents, tragedies. Paul, really? Do we always have reason for joy, even when we're faced with these problems? The reason why many fail to see how a person can have reason for joy, even during trials and tribulations, very often they fail to recognize the ultimate and primary reason for joy at Christmas time. I would venture to say that while we know the reason for Christmas joy, still there are times when problems touch our lives and we lose sight of reason for joy. What's the basis for this seemingly fanciful notion that we can experience joy in any and every situation of life? It's found in the joyous message an angel of the Lord made known to certain shepherds on the hills outside of Bethlehem, saying, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." We're reminded here that we have reason for perpetual joy is found in the Christ child. This message comes across to us when we sing the Christmas hymns that exhort us to rejoice with joy. We sing, "All my heart this night rejoices as I hear far and near sweetest angels' voices. Christ is born," their choirs are singing. "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." And "Rejoice, rejoice, this happy morn. A Savior unto us is born, the Christ, the Lord of glory. Whether or not there's a vacation during the holidays, or we can get together with the relatives, or decorations, or presents, or special dinners to be eaten this season of the year, the reason we find reason for joy is because of the wonderful event of our Savior coming into this world to bless us with a spirit of joy that never ends. Reminded by the Apostle Paul in today's text that it's because of the coming of the Lord and his redemptive work as our Savior that we can find reason for joy in every and any situation of life. Sometime back, there was an advertisement leading up to the Christmas holidays that said, "Give the gift that keeps on giving." In the case of the Heavenly Father, sending his beloved Son into this world as our Savior and blessing us with faith to believe in him, we receive the priceless Christmas gift from God that keeps on giving joy every day. When the apostle exhorted the Philippians to rejoice in the joy always, they were to understand the exhortation meant, now you have reason for joy even in the midst of trials and tribulations. Knowing Paul's personal experiences, they knew that he was not just talking the talk, he was walking the walk of a joyful Christian. It was on Paul's first missionary journey to Philippi that Paul was beaten and thrown into prison for his gospel ministry. And then in the middle of the night, people could hear him singing joyful songs to the Lord. What did he have reason to be singing about with joy? Beaten, imprisoned. That's nothing to give you any joy. Well, he thought of his Savior Jesus and all that Jesus went through for him, all that he suffered and endured for him as his Savior, and he was happy that he could show his love and his thankfulness to Jesus to suffer for him, to suffer for his kingdom's sake, the kingdom of glory. The very letter Paul sent to the Philippians was written while he was in chains in Rome. In the face of trials of life, Paul's epistle to the Philippians is filled with expressions of joy. In fact, if you were to find one word that served as a theme for this letter, it's joy. You find him exhorting the reader again and again in this letter to be rejoicing with joy in the Lord. Paul was very joyful and thankful that he had these fellow Christians to support him, to help him, pray for him, to give him gifts. They even sent him Epaphroditus, a friend of Paul, to help him in prison. Since our Heavenly Father ever loves us and treats us according to his divine wisdom and his abundant grace for Jesus' sake, we rejoice knowing that whenever he sends or permits a problem to come our way, he's always using it for our good, for our blessing. And so we find in the Epistle of James this exhortation, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." With the Lord always being in our midst, overseeing our lives, and blessing us in so many different ways, we can find joy in the midst of sorrow, as he comforts, strengthens, and uplifts our grieving spirit and gives us reason for hope. Paul writes in his letter to the Corinthians, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I'll give you an example of being able to be joyful in times of sadness and sorrow. Think of the times when you've lost a loved one in death, someone who's died in the Lord, and you can comfort them in the knowledge that loved one is in heaven, experiencing perfect joy that never ends. And also they can be encouraged that someday they too, having faith in Christ, they too will be joining their loved one in heaven with all the saints of heaven, because of the eternal salvation of Christ. In the earthly realm, there are many things that can rob us of joy. Some of those robbers of joy include feelings of fear, worry, and anxiety. Whenever we fix our eyes on the storms of life, our hearts are overwhelmed with fear, dread. Since we are susceptible to such woeful feelings, the Word of God would drive out those anxious feelings and replace them with feelings of joy. Here we find Paul saying to us, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." With this, Paul says, you don't have a reason in the world to worry. Why? It's because Jesus came into this world as our Savior, and because of Him and His redemptive work, God looks upon us as His children, that He loves, and He'll take care of us in any situation, tending to all our needs, wants, and cares. So do you ever have a reason to be worried, to be anxious, if the Lord is watching out for you? No. Because Jesus purchased and won for us the gracious favor of God by His life, death, and resurrection, whenever we're faced with any kind of trial, trouble, or difficulty, we can bring the matter to the Lord in prayer. And we know that He'll always answer it, and He'll do whatever it is that will serve for our good. In the book of the Psalms, the Lord says to us, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Another baneful thing in life that could rob us of joy is our consciences, plagued with guilt and fear of God's righteous wrath. And when we're not mindful of Christ, it robs us of peace, inner peace, and peace with God. The answer to a guilty conscience was voiced by the Christmas angels who praised God concerning the birth of the Savior, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The heavenly angels were singing about the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, who blesses us with peace, which the world can't give us. It's peace in knowing we have forgiveness through Jesus. There's no sin that separates us from God. There's no sin that separates us from heaven because of God's forgiveness in Christ Jesus. And when you know this, you have peace of heart and mind, and you have joy. Listen to what Paul writes concerning God's peacemaking work in Christ Jesus. "God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them." God made peace through our Savior Jesus by not charging us with our sin, not holding it against us. That peace is experienced by us when we accept it by faith in Jesus' redemptive work. There's no greater peace than peace of mind and peace with God. Paul says of this precious gift of peace that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This peace of God in Christ Jesus stands as a sentry of our heart to guard and keep us from being distressed and overwhelmed with feelings of anxiety. This peace keeps our hearts from being tormented and overwhelmed by sin. In our Savior Jesus, we not only have peace of heart, we have joy and the knowledge of our salvation. Because of Jesus and all he's done for us as our Savior, we mercifully can find joy in any and every situation of life. May the knowledge of our Savior God's loving care for our souls and our earthly welfare always fill our hearts with joy. Truly, he's a never-ending source of great joy and gladness to all those who look to him in faith. Now, as a postscript to this sermon, did you notice how many times they used the word joy? Quite a few times. Now, I'll ask you another question. Do you know what the theme of Paul's letter to the Philippians is? And it's only one word. Joy. So in this letter, Paul again and again impresses upon his readers and us, you always have reason for joy in the Lord. And to this we say, amen and amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.